Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
Guest speaker today, one of my personal favorite speakers. This man is a good friend of mine. I've known him for years. I've had the honor to watch him just completely transform into an amazing preacher. He is a servant of servants. If you know him, you will see this. He's an incredible man. He is one of my main core leaders in our college and our young adult ministry. I have him preach really often with us, and he's one of the main kind of disciplers over the whole young adult ministry. And so we have a huge honor to learn from this man today. Can we just stand up and welcome David Knox as he comes up here this morning? Come on, you guys are in for a treat. Come on up here, buddy. Love this man. He was also the co-leader in Mexico, and he did a great job. So proud of him. Let's just pray for him real quick. Father, I thank you so much for David. I thank you that this is a man who truly has your heart. He was named so correctly. He's a man after your own heart, Father, and who understand he is loved by you. Father, I ask today that you would speak to him and through him. We say our hearts are open, our hearts are excited and ready to learn what you have to say through your son here, Father. So bless him, bless his words today, and we're so excited to see what you do, Lord. And all God's people said, amen. Go for it, buddy.
Yeah, it was so humbling to be in Mexico. Thank you guys so much for supporting us and for praying for us. We really felt your prayers. Our border crossing back into the United States took less than 2 minutes. They basically just asked me, like, if I had anything I wanted to declare, and I said, I bought pan dulce in Mexico, and then he just laughed at me and looked at the kids. He's like, you guys can go. And so he just looked at their passport. And so it was really great. And man, like, even when Pastor Tal was cleaning that house out, I just wanted to mention that the locals saw what was happening and checked in on what they were doing. And even the local people who lived in that neighborhood, who were surely the ones who had dumped trash in this house, actually came and brought shovels. I mean, this is the degree of the trash, right? He brought a shovel and started helping them fill the trash bags with trash. And so really seeing them take ownership that this is my neighborhood made us get confidence that there's going to be a lasting change in Mexico. Obviously, Jesus is going to watch over those seeds, but that gave us hope, like, wow, they're taking responsibility for their neighborhood and something is changing. And so today I want to talk to you guys about the body of Christ. You know, you can break off addictions in your family. You can set people free from the chains of depression. Your whole friend group and your family can become healthier physically and emotionally. You can change our whole city. You can change your neighborhood, your workplace. You can change the world. And you can do it all without ever even talking to any of these people. You personally can change so much. And beloved, our place in this world is so much grander and influential than we have ever dared to imagine. Romans 12:5 says in the New English Translation, so we who are many are one body in Christ. And individually, we are members who belong to one another. We are one body. Jesus is the head of this body. And summarizing the words of Charlie Robinson when he was here, he said, Jesus has one body, just one body. We share that like it's some spiritual truth, like it's some theology, or it's even a good thing. Like, yeah, Jesus has one body, you know, one spirit, one body. But that's all he's got. What about when Jesus wants to lay his hands on someone and pray for them? What about when Jesus wants to go to the nations with his feet? What about when Jesus wants to comfort someone with his arms? When Jesus wants to comfort them with his arms, that's you. When Jesus wants to go to the nations with his feet, that's you. When Jesus wants to lay his hands on people, he's going to lay his hands on people through you, his body. He's not going to use his head or some ethereal touch, right? He's going to use his hands. And I don't know why he does it like that, but he's committed to us, and he's committed to us being in partnership with him as he ministers to people. And he's choosing to use his hands every time and his feet every time. And so we're the only body he's got. So when he wants to lay his hands on someone, who do you think is going to do it? This is called Connected, the surprising power of our social networks and how they shape our lives. It's written by renowned college professors who are experts in their field, Nicholas Christakis, PhD, and James H. Fowler, PhD. This book was required reading for every UCSD freshman at the time of my admission. There's so much content, and they use a whole lot of words to get to just one central point. The utter interconnectedness of society and impacting other people through just living of their lives. They exhibit time after time, community after community, environment after environment, that people seem to be promoted, get healthier, get happier, get raises, find love, experience or overcome depression, gain or lose weight in tandem. That's right. What they find in this book and all the studies is that people with friendships or who are connected by friend of friend or friend of friend of friend actually are rising and falling together. They struggle and they grow together, up to 3 degrees removed. And what's crazy here is in one of their quotes, it says, in a surprising regularity that, as we have discovered, appears in many network phenomena, the clustering of alcohol, tobacco, exercising, you know, et cetera, that whole list, obeyed, and even overcoming alcohol and all that, obeyed our 3 degrees of influence rule. The average person with whatever trait or growth was more likely to have friends, friends of friends, and friends of friends of friends who also had that trait or growth than would be expected due to chance alone. After confronting overwhelming amounts of evidence, even looking at studies spanning from 1948 with data all the way up to 2001, I don't even know which people gave them that much data. But I guess back then people filled out surveys more, right? And so after all these multiple studies, with all the negative addictions and positive life changes, Fowler and Christakis, as these brilliant psychologists, they offer just some ideas and explanations to barely grasp at the surface as to how this could possibly be true. To display even how in nature there's communities of animals that are just as interconnected or interconnected in similar ways as human beings. And they're just scratching the surface trying to say, why exactly are humans like this? We're not really sure. Not surprisingly, the real reason for this observable phenomenon is found in the Bible clearly. Humanity's interconnectedness is not some psychological principle that we discovered and quantified only, but rather it's something the creator of the world engineered and even shared with us so that we could build our lives around it. And we could have an edge and advantage to know how interconnected we really are with each other so that we could pull together, right? So we are one body, and we not only impact each other, but we impact our friends and our friends of friends and our friends of friends of friends that we might never, ever meet. And they affect us. All corporate breakthrough starts with personal breakthrough. And when one of us suffers, it hurts the whole group. And your place in this body, in this place, is so needed. I want you to know that no one else can actually do what you do here. If you don't do it, then no one will, because no one can be you. What I want to say is no one else even can be there, so you had better be you, because you're the only you we got. So we see the same truth in the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 21 through 27, and I really want to read this passage because I feel like the Bible is so powerful when talking about the body of Christ. And when psychology, I mean, God bless these people, when they try to come to explanations and they don't know the truths of the Bible, it's so difficult, and I understand why they're struggling. Like, I've studied it, but when you have the Bible with you, suddenly everything becomes so much clearer. It's like there's a new wisdom that you have that enlightens all the knowledge that you've gained. So let's actually look at this in the Bible. In verse 20, it says, as it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are the ones that we treat with special honor. And the parts of the body that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put this body together. He's giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there would be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part of the body suffers, every part of the body suffers with it. If one part of the body is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each and every one of you is a member, is a part of it. So like we see in 1 Corinthians 12:26, if one part of the body is honored, the whole body benefits. The whole body receives honor and rejoices. The whole body is promoted. Now, I know the passage just says rejoices. It says when one part is honored. that the other parts rejoice. But I think it's so much more than just that, because we are one unified body that you can't separate into distinct parts. It is one whole. And what I mean is that if you look at this painting, you know, that Jennifer Kwan was making, you could say, wow, her hand was so skillful in creating this painting because it looks beautiful. But there is no way that you can offer a compliment to her hand or a part of her body without complimenting the whole Jennifer. There's no way to just separate it into parts. It is one whole. And what I want to say is, so it is with Christ. With Christ, when one part of the body of Christ is honored, when one part of the body of Christ is promoted, when something happens, when someone makes the choice to overcome depression, when someone makes the choice to fight against the fear, when they make the choice that I'm just not going to do that anymore, that I'm not going to smoke tobacco anymore, that I'm not going to do this or that, that the whole Christ is honored. The entire body, the Christ, is receiving honor in this moment. And what's crazy here is that even, you know, if we're having trouble connecting with this, Colossians 1:18 says, and he is the head of the body, the church. So it's clear that even if my hand or my foot does something amazing that's praiseworthy, it was always my mind that engineered and executed that action in the first place. So I think oftentimes when we receive compliments and when people tell us, hey, you did something masterful, or your voice is like amazing, or you did something great, we almost want to say, oh no, I didn't really do good, or oh, that was totally just Jesus. And I want to say, we have to receive the honor so that we can give it to Jesus. You got to receive it. And there is no way, and I'm serious, there is no way that someone can look at a piece of the body of Christ and compliment them on their mastery over something without giving glory to Jesus Christ. They might not even know his name, but they are glorifying our Lord. And so if it were me and someone praised me for doing something masterful, I would go in my quiet time and I would say, thank you, Jesus, for speaking through me, for saving me, for bringing me to this place, right? But if I don't get to tell each and every single person in the compliment that actually that was Jesus and actually it might not have been me, you know, then that's okay. And the worst thing that you can do when someone compliments you is to completely deflect it and say, no, I didn't do good. Because you're part of the body, your hand needs to be honored for the whole body to receive the honor. And so what I want to bring with this is not just about compliments. This is about our breakthrough. This is about our victory. This means that every time one part of the body is getting promoted and succeeding, like I said, choosing not to compromise with some of the sin issues that we struggle with, all of us get a win. All of us receive breakthrough. Each one of us gets closer because of their act of courage. I am closer to my destiny because people are willing to take a stand for Jesus Christ. This is why it's so powerful that in my life I've overcome body image issues and depression, because that victory for me over depression and over the suicidal thoughts was not just for me. It was for people in their 60s and 70s. It was for my friends that I'm encouraging. It was a win for all of us. This is even how we see it in the Bible. King David in 1 Samuel 17, he actually defeats Goliath. He's the first one ever to defeat a giant. And like Pastor Daniel was talking about a couple weeks ago, it was like when the 4-minute mile was broken, it was like someone broke ground and everyone started doing it. It was like they showed the way that it was possible. The same thing happened for David in the Bible, that as soon as he defeated Goliath, soon after, 5 of Goliath's brothers, which were also giants, like 9 feet tall, were defeated by other Israelites, not even David. And it's crazy because by David making a courageous decision to stand for Jesus Christ, he raised up a generation of giant killers through a victory that broke the ground. And I want you to know today for sure that your victory breaks ground for other people. That you can actually bring more hope into this world by choosing to hope yourself. And my other point is that we suffer together. Like we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 21 to 27, I want to zoom in on verses 24 through 26 and really read it in the Passion Translation so that we can see another side of this coin. So it says, but some of our body parts don't require as much attention. That's not me. Instead, God has mingled the body parts together, giving greater honor to the lesser members who lacked it. He has done this intentionally so that every member would look after the others with mutual concern, and so that there would be no division in the body. In that way, whatever happens to one member happens to all. If one suffers, everyone suffers. If one member is honored, everyone rejoices. And like we talked about, it's so much more than just rejoicing. It's a compliment. It's a promotion. It's breakthrough for the whole body. It's not just the hand, like, oh, you wrote something cool. It's like, no, that was you. That was the one person you. That was the whole being or the whole Christ, like we talked about. So the numerous studies that we looked at from that Fowler and Christakis psychology people, they show us that the vices in the body of Christ, what we struggle with, they're actually contagious. And I think this is one of the reasons why there's certain verses in the Bible, like 1 Corinthians 5, verse 9 through 13, that even, you know, have us caution, like, hey, be careful who you actually allow in the body of Christ, because if there is someone who wants to be a part of this family, wants to be a part of this body, and they're not willing to get out of this sin, and, you know, they're just willfully choosing, like, I'm going to stay in this, and I refuse to even resist it, then there comes a point where you're like, this is going to hurt the whole body with this person. And so we have to consider that we are way more interconnected than we realize. And even though it's a hard truth, we suffer together. And I think sometimes that's shared with us in a condemning way, but I'm so encouraged to realize that we suffer together, because it means to me that I'm not alone. And it means to me that when one person overcomes and they make a courageous decision for Jesus, that I'm closer to my destiny. This is why I'm so committed in the college group to pour into people's lives and encourage them. I mean, I love them, but it's actually helping propel me into my destiny too. It's a win for the whole body of Christ, and it honors the name of Jesus here on the earth when I spend that time with them, and that to me is so important. If anything, the fact that we suffer together means that you are not alone, and that we hurt with you, and we're going to help you through it. But this brings me to my last point of this passage. As I was going through this message, I was getting super excited about all the things, the interconnectedness of humanity, and I came to the realization that in reality, we need you, that I need you guys. You are important. You are irreplaceable, and you have a place, and you have a place here. Jesus has one body, only one body to impact the world with. He can literally do anything, but we talked about how oftentimes he decides to use his hands to pray for people, which is you, his arms to comfort people, which is you, his feet to go to the nations, which is you. It's almost like my story and my destiny isn't complete without you. That I might be more empty without a church family and a support network, empty without close friends. This is crazy, but what good is success anyway if there's no one to share it with? This is crazier. Even doing great things for Jesus Christ and spending time with him can somehow become empty without community, without a support system. Consider Adam. He was in the garden with perfect relationship with God, and he still felt this loneliness because he was made in the image of God. He was created to have fellowship and communion and community with other like members, with people that were similar to him. Because God himself always enjoyed that connection and fellowship and communion with other like members, with other like parts. And so it wasn't just a husband-wife thing in that moment. It was a greater revelation of humanity needing community. We need constant communion. So you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that here at Summit Church, we do need you. But that Summit Church is so much bigger than one person. And I feel the boldness to say this from the stage, that there is no one person in this church who is the glue that is holding it together. This is something that we're all pulling for. This is something that we're all fighting for together. This is something that we're doing to honor Jesus Christ and to bring hope into the world. And we cannot do it alone, even our superstars. Just in case you don't agree with me about how our lives as Christians indirectly impact the world, because the verses that we looked at really focus on how they impact the body of Christ, I want you to consider that even if all we do by making those decisions to overcome fear is impact other Christians, that that in itself is going to change the world. It's going to change everything, because those Christians will be radically motivated to go out and reach people directly as well in evangelism and prayer and all this stuff. But it's my opinion that the effect on the world is coming from the body of Christ. The interconnectedness of society outside of the church is because of a greater interconnectedness of all of humanity. And I think that the breakthrough in the church translates to breakthrough out there. I think our decisions and our refusal to compromise in sin is actually what's going to lead this nation into a better place. It's what's going to help change our laws, is actually changing our own personal hearts. Because like I said, every personal breakthrough leads to corporate breakthrough. We see this so many times in the scripture where Joshua and John the Baptist and Gideon, they all start as men who have a personal breakthrough. and they do something that no one has done before, that no one is willing to do with Jesus. Even Jesus Christ himself, he broke ground for us and he set up a new normal for all of humanity. So he showed us what it could look like for a man or a woman to be fully dependent on the Holy Spirit and to be completely partnering with Father God. And this was meant to be our new normal, our blueprint of what we do here on the earth. Even in John 14:12, it says that we will do greater things than Jesus. Jesus was urging his followers that I laid a foundation for you. Of course you're going to go further than me because Jesus did all the hard work for us. He broke up the hard soil and he said we could build on his foundation. So if the foundation is this high and we build on it, how could we not go higher? And so I just want to end with commenting about evangelism and prayer, two of the ways that we can directly impact this world. I don't want our mandate and our gift to evangelize and pray for people to be an excuse for us to discount our responsibility to impact the world indirectly through the way that we live our lives. I believe in evangelism and prayer more than anyone else. It's true. You can completely change someone's life forever by actually physically going to this person and telling them about Jesus, by praying for them in person or from afar, and it will change everything. But that does not mean that your personal breakthrough is not also a shared corporate breakthrough, and that you can also bring more hope into this world by choosing to hope yourself. I think it's about time we start walking in the fullness of our identity as the body of Christ and the bride of Christ here on the earth. I think that we should do anything and everything, that by anything that we do, that there's a chance that people will experience the love of God, the goodness of God, and come to a place of repentance. I think we should use all three. We should directly impact people through evangelism and prayer and missions and all of that stuff. But we should continue to believe and act in a way where we know that the way we live our lives, how we stand up to depression, how we stand up to whatever we're struggling with in our life, actually impacts other people indirectly. That just through overcoming and choosing that I'm not going to compromise, that I'm not going to bend to fear, that I'm not going to bend and I'm not going to bow before that idol in our culture, even if it's Netflix, that is powerful and it will release breakthrough to everyone. So I want to invite, yeah, sometimes it is. So I want to invite everyone to stand up with me. I want to give you an opportunity to be the voice of Jesus Christ today. So let's all close our eyes and bow our heads. Some of us need to commit to the body of Christ. And I want to provide a space for everyone here to be the voice of Jesus. I want to provide a space for anyone who wants to say yes to being a part of this body and believing in Jesus for the first time. And I also want to provide a place for you if you want to renew your vows and recommit to your husband saying yes to Jesus, saying yes to Jesus' leadership and his leadership over your time. Now, if either one of those apply to you, if you want to say yes to Jesus, yes to being a part of this body for the first time, or if you want to renew your vows with our husband, Jesus, I want you to raise your hand on the count of three. I'm going to count to three, and you got to do it on three because Jesus is looking for a vow that's a confident yes. So if that applies to you, raise your hand on 1, 2, 3. Shoot that hand up. If that's you, raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. I see you guys. You can put your hands down. And I want everyone to open your eyes. I think that we need to celebrate and rejoice because what I was talking about today means we can know for sure that these people today who were willing to make a courageous decision for Jesus, they just unlocked a path to the destiny for all of us. That we are all closer to our breakthrough and overcoming the things that we're dealing with and closer to getting to where God wants us because of the courage of the parts of the body today. So I think that we should celebrate this. I think we should celebrate when people recommit to Jesus. This is a time of breakthrough and rejoicing for all of us. So I want to give you the opportunity to be the voice of Jesus Christ. It's so important that each and every person who raised their hand right now makes time to verbally commit to Jesus. But I want to give you the opportunity to be Jesus' voice and commit to him again as well. Whether you raise your hand or not, that all of us will act as one, as the voice of Christ, and we'll pray this prayer together. So please pray this with me and repeat after me. Lord Jesus, forgive my sins. Cleanse me. I believe in you, that you died and rose again. I ask you for personal breakthrough, for me to benefit the whole body. I choose to be part of your body. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.
Of a dry and thirsty land, you give up your mercy.